Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Abu Dhabi Combat Club, or ADCC, because it's coming up in the next weekend. I want to put in a little plug for grapplinginsider.com because we have a lot of great ADCC coverage coming out this week. And on Saturday, me and one of the other contributors, Roy, will be doing live coverage of the event. So if you don't know how ADCC is structured, we're going to talk a little bit about it today. But there's formats and there's matches going simultaneously. So it's actually very difficult to do live coverage. And the way we're going to try it is I'm going to watch mats 1 and 2. Roy is going to watch match 3 and 4, and we'll kind of update as the matches go on. Leading up to the event on Saturday, I'm going to be publishing two interviews that I did. The first is with Tom DeBlas, and I'll be publishing that Monday or Tuesday. Had an interview with him online, and nothing but good things to say about the guy. Gave a great interview, and it was really enjoyable to see him at the point in his life and his career that he's at now, where he sort of just has nothing left to prove and he's just out to grow his network of schools, do his instructionals, and he just seems happy and positive. And I like that, especially in a world where, you know, there's a lot of loud voices on the younger end of the spectrum, where, you know, you get attention by kind of calling people out and going on rants and things like that, and understand that's the way that the game works. But it's cool to see Tom, that he just is at a point where he doesn't need to do any of that stuff anymore. The second interview I'll be publishing is with Eddie Bravo, and I interviewed him on Friday, had a long talk with him on the phone. Really nice guy, very, very sharp and smart. He's got an incredible memory, referencing people and things that happened a long, long time ago, what belts they were at the time. And he just loves talking about jiu-jitsu, and it was really cool to interview him, especially with having a little bit of 10th Planet background, training at 10th Planet Ventura. So that'll be up probably closer to Wednesday. And those are both going to be kind of like narrative writing interviews, and it's not just going to be like a transcript. So I'm really excited about that. And they'll both be exclusive to grapplinginsider.com. So I don't want to assume everyone here knows what ADCC is, so I'll just give the quick kind of primer. This is generally considered one of the most prestigious submission grappling tournaments in the world for a couple reasons. One, it only happens every other year. Two, there's a very long kind of qualifying process to get into ADCC, although there are a number of athletes that are invited because their prestige is kind of recognized around the world. Three, it is not just limited to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Submission grappling of all kinds is welcome. Although the vast majority of champions since it was instituted in, I think it was 1999, have been Brazilians. The location where ADCC is held rotates each time around, very similar to the Olympics. And if you are not invited into ADCC, then you have to win a qualifying tournament. And they're held across the world. There was one held on the West Coast in Los Angeles this year. And then there are different ones at different points throughout the world. So it's a very international tournament. The founders of the tournament were a family in Abu Dhabi, which is in the Middle East. And there's actually a really interesting story about how that started, and the Sheikh of Abu Dhabi, I believe, struck up some sort of a relationship with Henzo Gracie and developed a love of the hobby of grappling, and then he created this tournament. At least that's the version that I know off the top of my head. What really makes ADCC a very interesting tournament from a game theory perspective, which is, of course, what we're into at High Percentage, is the rule set. This is a rule set that you don't see in really any other competition format, and it's probably a good thing because it's complicated. I'm going to try to explain it the correct way. So in a typical ADCC championship match, these are 16-man brackets. It's single elimination. These are 10-minute matches. The first half of the match, so the first 5 minutes, there is no points awarded. The second half, so the second 5 minutes, there is a point system that is put in place. If at the end of the 10 minutes there's been no submission, no points, or it's a tie, they will go into a 5-minute overtime. If there's no winner after that, they will go into a second 5-minute overtime. If there's still no winner after that, they can go to a judge's decision. If it is the finals match of the 16-man bracket, then essentially all the times are doubled. So instead of a 10-minute match, it'll become 20 minutes. And the first 10, there's no points. The second 10s, there is a point system. And then there's two, potentially, 10-minute overtime. So it really tests competitors' endurance. I mean, you're looking at, for a finals match, that could be 30 minutes of grappling, and that's a lot. The point system itself is notable as well, and I'm not going to go over all the minutiae of it, but some of the really important things about the point system is, first and foremost, you will get penalized for pulling guard, and not just sitting down in guard, but actually pulling guard, having physical contact with someone, jumping to guard, all of that, you will get a negative point. There are no penalties in ADCC. Like IBJJF, you know, you are not deducted points. You're just given a penalty. If you get three penalties, you get disqualified. But in ADCC, they take a point from your total if you do something like pull guard. They're pretty aggressive with, if you are considered to be retreating or not being offensive, they will take points from you in that situation as well. And then also, the way the points are awarded is not the same in IBJJF. So like a back take at ADCC is only worth 3 points. In IBJJF, it's normally worth 4. There's some other small adjustments like that. Takedowns are still worth 2 points, which is kind of odd because it's such a wrestling-heavy tournament. You'd think takedowns would be worth more. What we've seen in the past with the game theory and sort of the dominant strategy that has emerged with this rule set is competitors have concluded that in the first 5 minutes of a match, they don't really have a lot to gain by being really aggressive. So in an ironic way, the opening 5 minutes having no points, the game creators intended for that to encourage aggression and sort of unlimited offense, but it's actually had the exact opposite effect, which is competitors really don't feel like they have anything to gain without a point system. So for the first 5 minutes, a lot of times they're very, very passive. And then as soon as that 5 minutes has elapsed and the ref gives the signal that points are in play, boom, you start seeing people going for takedowns. So it's interesting to think about, what is the reason for this tentativeness in the first 5 minutes? Well, I'm always a fan of, don't criticize competitors for trying to win and take advantage of the different rule sets. Instead, criticize what the structure of the game is, because the game could be adjusted to get the outcome you want. What competitors have realized is that if you were to, in the first 5 minutes, score a takedown, pass someone's guard, take their back, and just come short of submitting them but not actually do it, you would have done everything that would have scored points, but because it was in the first 5 minutes, you gained 0 from it. And then after that, if your opponent was able to reverse you, you've essentially done all that work for nothing. So competitors have wisely kind of made the calculation that, hey, I might as well wait after the first 5 minutes when I'm going to be rewarded for my efforts, because in the first 5 minutes, it's a zero-sum game. You either submit someone or you don't. Now, of course, I don't mean to imply that all competitors are doing this. There are plenty of aggressive people at ADCC that from the word go, they are on the offense and they're attacking. However, anyone that's watched, you know, ADCCs in the last several years has seen that, you know, some of the really intelligent cerebral competitors are clearly keeping their eye on the clock. ADCC is not different from most other competitive formats in the sense that you are slightly less likely to win by submission than you are by points or by a judge's decision. And they have the statistics to back this up. If you know about the website bjjheroes.com, they've done a fantastic statistical analysis of ADCC finishing rates. And a lot of the data that I'm going to cite in the next couple of minutes comes from them. And I recommend that you check it out because they're doing the work for me. So this is fantastic to you know, see other people. They're getting statistical data that's a little bit different than the stuff we focused on to date at High Percentage. So BJJ Heroes analyzed all of the matches since 2007, so from 07 to 2017. And in not a single year was submission finishes above 50%. They had a low of 32% in 2015, and then the high of 48% in 2007. This makes the athlete's calculation that it's really not worth it to be tremendously active in the first 5 minutes really reinforced, because they've, whether or not they're aware of the statistics, they're somehow intuitively aware that they're a little bit less likely to score submissions. And also, submissions take time. We have data on that too. So, you know, scoring it, a submission is hard enough in ADCC, but doing it in the first 5 minutes might be more difficult as well. As far as the kinds of submissions that are hit at ADCC, in 2017, the top three submissions was the rear naked choke, which had 6 finishes. the heel hook, which had five finishes, and the last one was the armbar, which had, Okay, the RNC had seven finishes. The heel hook had six, and the armbar had five. And then after that, there was sort of a mishmash of, you know, other smaller submissions, a lot of the ones and twos. One of the interesting trends that we've seen in ADCC is that every year there are more decisions than in the previous years, and this is a trend that's been happening for quite some time. So in 2011, the ADCC championships had two decision victories. In 2013, it tripled to six. In 2015, it went up to 19. And then at the most recent one, 2017, there were 21 decision victories. Now, here's a really interesting statistic, and I'd be really curious to know if this holds up in other competition formats, and this gives me an idea for a study. This would be a pretty easy one to do, too, which is, how important is the first point? So at High Percentage, we've done an article before about taking the first action, whether it's the first takedown or even like the first takedown attempt. And we've seen that the majority of the time, if you're the, you know, you take the first action, whether it's points or just the first significant action, you're more likely to win. It's not overwhelming. I think it was like in the 60s or 70s. But what we saw at the 2017 ADCC was that the person that scored the first points won 99% of the time. In fact, there was only one athlete in 2017 that won a match despite not scoring the first point. Do you know who it was? It was Gio Martinez from 10th Planet. Not only was there only one athlete that was able to win despite not scoring the first point, but there were only two athletes in 2017 that managed to score back on their opponents at all. And one was Gio Martinez, and the second was Mackenzie Dern. And in her case, even though she was able to score after being scored on, she still couldn't overcome the deficit to go on for a win. This speaks to the real reason why ADCC is perceived as sort of the wrestling-heavy tournament in the world of submission grappling. Not necessarily because, like we mentioned earlier, takedowns are only worth 2 points. There's more valuable point-scoring positions, and there's a long time to obtain those points. But because you absolutely cannot pull guard, and losing just a single point is very, very dangerous in this tournament format because matches are often determined simply by a single score. And if you can't pull guard, then the only way that you can get that initial score is going to be a takedown. So it creates an environment where an ADCC, essentially, if you get the first takedown, it is very, very likely that you are going to win. I've been thinking a lot this week about the rule set of ADCC and how it's different from others and how the rule sets sort of influence the behavior of competitors. One thing that I've often said about IBJJF game theory is that, you know, some people have criticisms of the rule set of IBJJF, and I think some of those are legitimate. But at the end of the day, I always say that IBJJF tournament rewards you for doing things that you really want to do anyways. Even if there was no points in an IBJJF tournament, you would still want to get a takedown, to get on top, and to sort of go through a positional progression. So it sort of lets athletes either play the points game or just pursue positional dominance. And either way, you're generally going to win if you're the better competitor. ADCC, in a weird way, feels a little bit different. It's one of the few tournament formats that they've decided to do both. So for the first half of the match, it is a submission-only match, and for the second half, it's a points match. And even though it's all one match, it's really two separate competitions that happen within a 10-minute span. So what it does is it presents competitors with sort of a choice, which is, I'm going to go for broke and go for submissions, and that's my path to victory, or I'm going to play the points game. If you choose the first path, then you're going to be aggressive right off the bat. If you choose the latter path, then you're going to be conservative in the first half, and then you're going to start picking up your action in the second half. So it sort of forces athletes to make a choice as far as what their strategy is. Okay, now that we got some of the game theory and statistics out of the way, I just really quick want to nerd out about how this is one of the best ADCCs I've ever seen on paper. And I know all of them are really great on paper, but some of the potential matchups that we could see. So in the 66 kilo division, There's a lot of names, but I'm just going to pick out like my sort of dream matches that I'm hoping for. The brackets have not been released. I think they're going to be released Thursday. That's typical for these kind of tournaments. But we could potentially see Nikki Ryan compete against Gio Martinez. We could see Paulo Miau compete against Cobrinha's son, Kennedy, and that'd be really interesting, especially because the Miaus and Kennedy are very heavy guard pullers, so I'm very curious to see Kennedy in particular, what his wrestling game is like, or we could see sort of combinations of all those. Gary Tonin will have sort of his long-awaited return to submission grappling. He's been doing MMA for quite some time. And in his division, again, it's a who's who. Wagner Rocha, Edwin Najmi, Lachlan Giles, who I was able to see at the Kinectic event. And he did put away an entire team of five competitors by himself, including Pedro Hizo, which was the last match, which had a significant weight advantage on him. And it would just be so great to see Gary Tonin compete against any of them. Lucas Lepre is in his bracket as well. JT Torres is also in the same bracket as all those guys. In the 88-kilo division, we have a special shout-out. Alec Balding is in the 88-kilo division, and he has actually started doing some writing for GrapplingInsider.com, which is fantastic. Josh Hinger is in that same division. Ben Dyson, who is a fantastic black belt under Roy Dean. He trains in the UK, and he had a pretty competitive match against Nick Rodriguez at Polaris 11. Of course, Craig Jones is in that same division. Mike Perez, just a fantastic stacked, you know, men's 88-kilo division. At the 99 level, which is, you know, really the flagship level, there's a lot of names here. We have Keenan Cornelius, who I was on Instagram earlier this week saying that he had maybe some sort of eye infection, so hopefully he's able to still make that. Tex Johnson, Tim Spriggs, and of course the elephant in the room is Gordon Ryan, who will be competing in the event. You know, injured his knee, kind of was big in the news. I think it was in April. I spoke to him at the Kinectic event. He was saying 80%. Later on, he said 85% a couple weeks later. So we'll all be curious to see what his wrestling looks like. And lastly, Dylan Danis, sort of the bad boy of jiu-jitsu at the moment, he'll be in that same division. I'm just going to go over some of the names in women's jiu-jitsu and submission grappling that I am really excited to follow at ADCC. First, Fionn Davis, who has really come out of nowhere in the last couple years, you know, was starting to do the competitive scene as a purple belt, did EBI, I think it was 11, and almost defeated Alcantara, and really was did very well in that match, and then recently beat her in the rematch. So really curious to see how Fionn Davis does. Other big names, Beatrice Mosqueda, of course. She was the 2017 champion. Jenna Bishop, Gabby Garcia, still competing in the 60 plus kilo division. And then lastly, a special treat for all of us is going to be the super fight between Andre Gonval and Felipe Pena. Both of them are former ADCC champions. Andre Gonval, prolific competitor. I don't know how long he's going to be competing at this level. You know, arguably he's still in his prime, has a very, very impressive record. But, you know, this could be one of his later, you know, big premier super fight competitions. So I'm looking forward to enjoying it. I hope he does well because he's one of the better competitors of our generation, and what he's done at Team Atos has been really impressive. So that'll be an incredible match to watch. Okay, thank you for letting me sort of digress on that. I know at High Percentage, we don't do a lot of current events. And the reason is because I like to keep the podcasts maybe a little bit evergreen, that someone can discover them and can kind of go back and dig through our archives and not have a bunch of spoilers or information that's sort of outdated. But that being said, you know, ADCC only comes along once every other year, so I think it's really interesting to talk about. But once it's over, we're going to go back to doing what we do best, which is talking about the science and statistics behind Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Again, if you're looking for a place to check out coverage and results, I recommend GrapplingInsider.com. My interviews with Eddie Bravo and Tom DeBlas will be published in the next few days, and I am going to be spending all day Sunday, you know, logged into my Flow Grappling account and doing the live play-by-play, but of course, we'll have a podcast next Sunday. Thank you everyone for listening. Hope you have a great week of training, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.